Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Do you ever wake up grumpy? Or as I heard someone say, yeah, some days I wake up grumpy and sometimes I just let him sleep. But you know, sometimes we don't really even know why. We wake up grumpy. We wake up grouchy. We can fall back into an attitude of ungratefulness, dissatisfied with life, angry, bitter, resentful. Well, when that happens, I want to give you some all-purpose treatment for that condition. And you'll find it right here in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. If you wake up grouchy, or you poke him and wake grouchy up, somewhere along the line, part of that is we have forgotten the benefits that God has blessed us with. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, God's benefit package. And he spells out some of these benefits that he says in verse 2 that we are not to forget. And we're just going to look at them. And I hope this will encourage us and strengthen us and tie us back to the Lord. Because if we are going to honor the Lord, we must remain thankful, grateful people. I found an author that, writing about Psalm 103, he wrote this. He said, a good dose of Psalm 103 will wash away a complaining spirit and will replace it with a heart of gratitude to the Lord. Now, we've got to process this. We need to work this through our minds. He continues. He says, we must think before we can thank. We must ponder before we can praise. We must remember before we can rejoice. So we're going to think this morning. We're going to ponder. We are going to just recognize God's blessing and remember His blessings this morning as we look into His Word. And may it just wash over our hearts with a renewed sense of joy and determination to connect with Him. Psalm 103. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to read the benefits section down through verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God's benefit package. First of all, we're going to just understand this, that in this passage, our God gives us every reason to give thanks. If you didn't have a reason or you thought you didn't have a reason, you'll have a reason very shortly, because as we remember God's benefits, the blessings He pours out upon us, it calls us back to this thankful state of mind. He begins with the first benefit, and it's the first phrase of verse 3, who says, who forgives all your iniquities. So first of all, we need to give thanks for pardon. Give thanks for pardon, that God has pardoned us from our iniquities. Now, if you look at that phrase, and I hope you have your Bible at the ready there, if you look at that phrase at the beginning of verse 3, I want you to just think through what word of this phrase, of these few words, jumps out at you that just kind of has an impact. Who forgives all your iniquities? Perhaps some of us in the room would say, well, Pastor, it's that word iniquities. That's a synonym for sin, or anywhere we've fallen and failed morally before a righteous, holy God. And maybe you say, you know, I know I'm full of faults. I'm flawed. I'm keenly aware of my own sin before a holy God. Maybe that's what jumps out at you. Maybe it's the word pardon. Who forgives all your iniquities. This concept that in forgiveness that God just gives us freedom from that. Maybe it's that word forgives. For me, I got to tell you, when I read that phrase, it's the word all. Who forgives all your iniquities. All your iniquities. It's not partial. It's not conditional. It's not any small print down at the bottom. It's He forgives all your iniquities. Now, sometimes we succumb to this way of thinking. Somehow we kind of adopt this way of thinking that thinks this way. At a particular point in time, we come to Christ. I was saved. I came to that point where I recognized Christ died on the cross and He forgave me for all of my past sins. And sometimes we fail to realize the all-encompassing nature of that pardon, of that forgiveness. As someone I was reading as he was commenting on these verses this week, he said, sometimes we think, well, all my past sins are dealt with when I was saved, and then it's just a foot race with the devil to the end of the life. You know, that's kind of how it is. But you understand this? When Jesus Christ died on the cross to purchase your pardon, to purchase your forgiveness, you hadn't sinned even once at that point. All of your sins were future. His pardon is for all. Now, I understand we still need to make progress. That is no occasion for license. That's no occasion for restoring our closeness to the Lord through confession of sin. But judicially, as He looks at us, He no longer sees us as ourselves in all of our iniquity. He sees us washed clean and wrapped up in the righteousness of Christ Himself, who forgives all our iniquities. You think you don't have some benefits, or you came without a real zeroed in, focused thoughts of thanksgiving? Well, here's one for you. Where do you see it? And I've asked the same question, actually, these compliments all the way through. Where do you see it, and what can we do? But first of all, where do you see it? Well, first of all, I want you to understand you only see this from God. It is only from God. This type of forgiveness only comes from God in a relationship with Him. Now, sometimes we have received the forgiveness of others, and we appreciate that. There are moments when we have extended forgiveness to others, and hopefully they appreciate that. But you understand, our forgiveness one for another is woefully insufficient when it is compared to the forgiveness of our God. This kind of forgiveness only comes from God. Now, later in this psalm, he comes back to this idea. Look down in verse 12, Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now, there's a particular reason the psalmist uses east and west, not north and south. About 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Hong Kong for 12 days and to minister to a group of missionaries there. And the flight that took me there, I left Newark, New Jersey, and flew north up over the polar cap and all that, and came down over Mongolia and China and Russia and down to Hong Kong. I did find out spending 16 hours locked in an airplane is no fun. That was a long, long flight. But they had on the seat back in front of us, and this was kind of new technology 10 years ago, they had a little GPS screen, and you could see the little airplane, and you could see whatever part of Mongolia you happened to be flying over at that particular point in time. But as we flew north, you were going north, 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 and this flight, it would not fly directly over the pole for some sort of navigational reasons, but somewhere from 60 to 100 miles from the pole. But eventually you would be flying north, 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 and at some point you started flying south, 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 south. There is a point where north and south meet. But if you could get in an airplane that had an unlimited amount of fuel, and you got in it and you took off and you were flying east, you could fly east and east and east and east, even if you could come all the way back around the world to where you started from, and you were still flying east. Or if you made a U-turn and you started flying west, you could fly west and west, even if you came all the way around the world and you were still flying west. If you go east and west, you will never run into the other. You go north and south, you can run into one or the other. But it's a way of saying you will never, ever run into your sins again. It has been removed. How far? As far as the east and from the west. They never, ever meet. That's the pardon. That's the expanse of the forgiveness of God. Give thanks for our pardon. That should be reason enough to give thanks. Well, what should we do? What should be a proper response? We've already said that our forgiveness is not comparable to God's forgiveness. We are imperfect in it. But we need to do this. What can you do? We can forgive someone else, or at least start moving in that direction. To forgive someone else. To give someone else a pardon. Give someone else a pass. And I understand that is difficult. We have those moments where we think we've forgiven somebody. Yeah, I forgive you, give you a pass. And then something happens and we just reach over and grab that offense and we just pull it back up and we say, no, I've taken that back. I'm still holding that against you. So I don't know if any of us can claim perfection, but at least we need to move in a particular direction. If we realize how much God has forgiven us, who has forgiven all our iniquities, has removed them as far as the east is from the west, friends, we have every motivation to forgive someone else in our lives. He doesn't stop with that benefit, but he moves on. The end of verse 3. Who heals all your diseases. Who heals all your diseases. Now, if we thought about, if we went around the room, we could all share, we thought about this, we could all identify probably something either in our life or someone we know in our lives that they have had a healing experience. And some of that is spectacular. This person was given up for dead, or they didn't think they would recover, or was declared terminal or whatever, and somehow they recovered. Well, we know what the somehow is. It's God is in the business of healing. Sometimes it's very ordinary. There comes a day when the cast comes off, or we end treatment, or we take the last pill in that prescription, and we are better and we are well. But you understand, it is still God who heals. There's some of you in this room that serve in the medical arts, and the Lord has given you skill. And I'm glad we live in a day where we have the technology and the pharmaceuticals and the people that can treat us when we're ill. But you understand, ultimately, the healing of the body is something God has put into us and something He blesses us with. Yeah, this can be treated or this condition can be addressed, but ultimately, it is all healing comes from God. So we need to give thanks for healing. Give thanks for healing. Where do you see it? It always comes from God. It is always from Him. Whether it be ordinary, I got a cold, had the flu, I got better. Or I had this life-threatening condition, I get better. It all comes from God, so we need to give Him thanks for it. And however old you are, we should give thanks for we've reached this point through the healing benevolence of God. But now you think that this. But Pastor, not everybody gets healed. I mean, somebody, maybe we prayed for them, and maybe we fasted and prayed and cried out to God for this person to be healed from this terrible disease, and they passed away from it. And we have to think big picture when we think of this phrase, when it says He heals all your diseases. You understand, in this life, in this condition, in this flesh that we inhabit, all healing at best is temporary. There has been put upon us, it goes all the way back to the third chapter of Genesis, the first family that ever walked this planet, the first couple, and because of their sin, there has been this sentence of death. It's appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews says. But you also understand that the Word of God tells us that this fleshly condition that we are in is not permanent. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we looked at this last Easter. We spent several weeks together looking at that wonderful passage of Scripture where he talks about this mortal must put on immortality and this corruptible nature of the body must put on incorruption. And the day will come when we will be glorified and be given a body like unto His glorious body, and that will occur at the resurrection. And the day will come when ultimately He will heal all of our diseases. Yeah, we thank Him for the healing in this life, but friends, focus way beyond this life. So when it says He heals all of your diseases, that is accurate. It is true. It is true. And we need to cling to that reality and cling to that promise. And if you're here this morning, I hope that encourages you. But what do we do? That's what we see. All healing, if you're here, give thanks. If you've been healed, give thanks. If you've been healed of something spectacular, give thanks. If you've been healed of something regular, give thanks. Give thanks for the ultimate healing. But I've already said it this way, and I think you would agree, that none of us can heal somebody else. We don't have that ability. We can't just make someone well. We can treat a problem or treat a condition, but ultimately the healing comes from God. Let me suggest one way that you can offer healing to someone else. Let's just say it this way. What can you do? I want to encourage all of us to be speaking healing words. Speaking healing words. As we speak healing words, we can't heal the body, but we can offer words that can bind up the wounds and the afflictions of the heart that so many people have. I want to try a little experiment. I think we maybe have done this before, but I want just it's a good time to do it again. There's a little poem that maybe you learned as a child as I did, and I'm going to say the first part, and I want to see if you remember the second part, all right? And you can just talk, right? It's okay to talk out in church if I give you permission, okay? It's all right. Some of you are going to have trouble dealing with this, but this will be okay. Sticks and stones may hurt my... Excuse me, I messed it up. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... That's the biggest lie you've ever could tell anybody in your life. Is that true? Of course words can hurt me. In fact, there's probably been some instances in your life as it's been in mine. I'd just rather got slapped in the face than to hear what I just heard. Because it strikes down in the heart. Down where we really, really live. And some of us have been beaten and battered by harmful words. And it's left us with some after effects. I can't change that. You can't change that. But you know what we can do is we choose to speak to people. We can offer words of healing in their hearts, to give them encouragement, just to pay attention, to share the love, to offer to pray for that person, to reach out and to do what you can do. Say thank you. Express your appreciation. Express your love. Share what's going on in your life. I loved our Thanksgiving service we had here Wednesday, those of you that were able to be with us. We had a great time and a great group here. And people were just sharing all over this room about what God was doing in their life and where they'd seen God at work in their life. And I just left so encouraged, not by anything that I said, but what you all said. Hey, God is at work. Speak words because someone needs your healing words. You can't heal their body. That ultimately comes from God. But you can speak words that can heal the deep, dark wounds of the soul. He doesn't end there. He goes on in this benefit package. Who redeems your life from destruction, verse 4. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I'm going to just give you the statement, and then we're going to look at it kind of in reverse order. But thirdly, give thanks for deliverance. Give thanks for deliverance. That's what he's talking about here in this verse, about being delivered. Who redeems your life from destruction. As if someone has fallen into a pit, whether it's an emotional pit or a physical pit or a fit of the condition in their life, and they've fallen into this place and they need someone to reach into this deep, dark pit and lift them up and restore them, to deliver them from whatever is scary and difficult. What's the Lord promises he does? What's part of his benefit package? Who redeems your life from destruction. Why does he do it? Look at the end of the verse. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What a word is crowns. It's not just he gives you or he touches you or he anoints you. He crowns you. Here's the God of the universe who rules over everything as if he's treating us as his royal heirs. And he says, I want to just crown you. I want to bestow this on you with all the reverence and the dignity of the King of Kings. And I crown you with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies. It's the heart of God that drives him to deliver us from the stuff of life. It drives him that way. Now, if you look at verse 11, you get another hint of this loving kindness and this mercy. It's another one of those comparisons like we saw in verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Those who fear him are those who just treat God with all the reverence and respect and dignity that God is God. We treat God like he is God because he is God. Okay? But it says, as the heavens are high above the earth, that's how great God's mercy is towards you. Now, we took an imaginary trip on an airplane just a moment ago. Could I take you on an imaginary trip on a spaceship? Because the direction is not east and west, the direction is up. So if we had a spaceship, some of you don't seem real excited about getting on this spaceship. Just imagine with me, it's safe, okay? And we were launched directly up into space. How far could you go up and it still would be up? You would just keep going up and up and up, and there would be more up, and you would just keep going on. And as far as we know, as far as we can calculate, that you could just keep going in that direction infinitely. There is no end. There is no limit. There is no boundary. So the psalmist not only talks about east from west, we're not going to run into our sins anymore. He says, you want to know how great God's mercy is? Just start going up. And that's how high, that's how great. It's unlimited. There is no end. There is no three strikes you're out rule with God. There is no end of His tenderness, His tender mercies, His loving kindness, His mercy. So the psalmist uses this, the most expansive illustration, metaphor he can find. Just keep going up, and you will still not exhaust the limit of God's mercy for you. That's, back to verse 4, that's the mercy that leads to our deliverance, that God rescues us. It's motivated by His mercy and His love as we are crowned as the child of the King. Now let's think about this now. This deliverance, this being pulled out of a pit, so to speak, where do you see it? Well, friends, you never see it without God. Ultimate deliverance always has God factored into it and God's fingerprints all over it. Now, some of us could think in terms of life, just like we talked about sickness and illness or injury a moment ago. We could think about deliverance. And if we went around this auditorium, all over the auditorium or up in the balcony, we could hear stories about things God has delivered us from. There's some people in this room that God's delivered you from a terrible addiction, or God has delivered you from a terrible upbringing or difficult childhood, or God has delivered you from some near-miss tragedy. God's delivered you from the effects of something. So we have those kind of stories. We understand, oh, God, You just got me out of that. You pulled me up. Lord, You be praised. But what about the rest of us? What about those of us that are in this category of, I mean, there's been a couple, might be that was a near miss, but I mean, I don't know of any grand deliverance. I've never had that kind of drama in my life. Let me tell you this, friends. The fact that you are here and well is evidence that God is doing His job and delivering you from destruction and delivering you from the pit of where you could be. You have every reason, I have every reason, to give thanks to our God. Why? Because part of His benefit package is this: who redeems your life from destruction. Where do you see that? You see it never apart from God's mercy and God's loving kindness and God's work. Give thanks for the deliverance. Now, how do we respond to that one? What can we do? I understand this heart of God, and I understand what He's done for us. But what about other people? Let's just say it this way. What can you do? What you can do is to help someone else from their pit, wherever they've fallen. Whatever they're going through, reach out. That might be the very reason God has you on this planet, to be the hands to reach out and to help somebody recover from wherever they've fallen, whatever has them in its clutches, whatever is scary, whatever is difficult, whatever is causing stress and tension, that you can be the hands of God that reaches out to that person. Well, there's one more, and you see it in the next verse. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Number four, fourth part of God's benefit package is this: give thanks for satisfaction in life. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. God wants to give you that which is lasting. Have you noticed how all the promises of stuff and experience that promises to offer lasting satisfaction comes up short? Now, I was blessed, and most of us were blessed too, to have Thanksgiving dinner a couple days ago. And we sat down about 12:30 in the afternoon, and there was a nice, freshly baked turkey filled with homemade stuffing. I know you're going to get hungry and not listen to anything else I say the rest of the day. And there was the potatoes and the beans and the, you know, all the stuff and a few new dishes that were new to this. So it's wonderful. I sat there and ate and finished it off with a extra large slice of pumpkin pie with a whole bunch of whipped cream on it. And at the end of the meal, I didn't want anything else to eat. I was satisfied. You know that feeling? And you know what? That was about 12:30. I didn't eat anything else the rest of the day. I was so satisfied. There was no need for supper or even a snack. Just that was it for the day. You know what? I woke up the next morning and I was hungry again. It's nice for a while. It just doesn't last. That is true about every experience, everything we can experience on the human plane. And if you were one of those people that went out in the middle of the night or got up at 5 a.m. to do your Black Friday shopping. And they tell us that billions of dollars was spent over these last few days on shopping and people rushing around and getting up at a ridiculous hour to go shopping. Of course, now tomorrow is Cyber Monday. That's the biggest online shopping day of the year. So if you missed it on Friday, just log on to your computer tomorrow and you can max out your Visa card without any problem. It's available to you. But you know what? Whatever you buy or whatever you give or whatever you're excited about, whatever the new toy is, whatever the new thing is, you understand? It's not going to last. It's going to get old. I think about that in the springtime, at least in our neighborhood. All the neighbors, there's one day when all the neighbors bring out their stuff out to the curb. We bring all the junk we don't want, and we put a yard sale sign up, and we try to pawn our junk off on our neighbors. If you will buy my junk, I would really appreciate it. Somewhere that junk was somebody's treasure when it was bought originally. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. But here is this promise of He satisfies your mouth with good things. It is going to last. There's so much of, we've been caught up in so much of the hype and the messages that come at us that this is the big thing. And Satan uses that tactic against us. If you'll just try this, if you'll experience this, if you'll go after that, this will be what just really thrills you in life and saves you satisfaction. It doesn't last. After the 1971 football season in the NFL, and if you'll forgive some of you know my loyalties in football, but it was the first of five Super Bowls that the Dallas Cowboys won that year. But that year they had a particular player by the name of Dwayne Thomas, and he was eccentric, to say it mildly. He would rarely speak to the press, and he just kind of did his own thing, and people didn't really understand him. But he was required, all the players were required, to have a press interview where all the reporters prior to the game would have a chance to interview him. And his typical pattern was just sit there in silence. They'd ask a question, he wouldn't answer. But he did break his silence with this quote. One of the reporters asked Dwayne Thomas about this Super Bowl VI that was coming up in January 1972. The question was, how does it feel to be playing in the ultimate game? Thomas's response, if it's the ultimate game, how come they're playing it again next year? He might have been a strange person, but he got that right. There is only one place, and this is where you see it. Where do you see it? If you're going to find satisfaction, it is ever and only in God. That's where we see it. Where do you see it? Ever in God. It's the touch of Him in your life. That's where we get lasting satisfaction, because He is an eternal God. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't grow old. In fact, it grows. And then He uses this phrase in the end of verse 5, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, do you want to feel younger? Boy, if you could put that in a bottle and put it on the shelf, you could make some money, couldn't you? Well, you don't find it in a bottle. You don't find it on a shelf. By the way, it is better than aerobics and cheaper than health food and quicker than dieting and less strenuous than jogging. Here is the miracle cure. It's the Lord's gifts that gives you satisfaction, and it's the Lord's gifts will make your youth renewed like an eagle's. You don't get it from all those other things, but you get it by immersing yourself in the benefits of Almighty God. An all-loving God, an all-merciful God. Now, that may not renew your body and cure all your aches and pains, but it'll certainly renew your spirit and put a spring in your step and put a smile on your face and will have a way of washing away all that grumpiness and all of that dissatisfaction and all that grouchiness and all that bitterness and all that resentment when we immerse ourselves in the benefits of God. Friends, that's where satisfaction comes from.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6:30 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.